Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. The Francis Young Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College is celebrating its 15th anniversary year. This is how I know that I've been doing this show for a very, very long time. I remember your opening. I remember you coming on.
That makes me just as old.
I know. It's just, wow, time flies. And this museum came into our region and took our lapels and just shook us and said, we have great stuff to show you. And they certainly have been doing that over the past decade and a half. They are celebrating with a spring opening celebration on Saturday, the 6th, February 6th. Saturday, February 6th, featuring three new exhibitions and a dialogue about the work and legacy of the artist Alma Thomas, and a concert on Thursday, February 18th, featuring our good friends Ban on a Can All Stars, and a performance that will include a new work commissioned by Jack Shear and the Tang for the occasion. Ian Berry is the Dayton director at the Tang. He joins us now. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Good morning, Joe.
It's always good to have you on the program. I always love to hear what you guys are up to.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. And, we feel really close to the audience here at WAMC. We hear them, we talk about them with them at the museum. And, this is the beginning of the second half of our anniversary season. Have you checked out our new website?
I saw your website. Looked at your website two nights ago when I was script writing.
What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah,
I think you did a beautiful job. It's very artistic.
Very good. We worked with a fantastic company called Linked by Air, and they've thought about our teaching mission and the things that happen with the students and faculty at Skidmore, and all the different kinds of people that come to the Tang from outside our region and inside our region, and I think we have a really exciting, vibrant website to explore now.
You have a beautiful book out too. It is Everything is Connected. This is sort of your story, mm-hmm. your mission in book form, mm-hmm. as well as evidence as to how you have achieved that mission over the past 15 years.
Yes, Barbara Moeller, an alum and great supporter of the museum, came to us several years ago and said, talked about being inspired by the ambition of Skidmore to build a teaching museum, to hold on to this interdisciplinary idea throughout, which is, when you're building something from scratch, can be the harder path. She set out to tell that story, and she did an amazing job of interviewing and collecting information and stories from all the different people that worked together to come up with the concept of the museum, to then build the museum, and then for the last 15 years, program it. Everything is Connected is a beautiful title. We feel very close to that sentiment. Bringing in scientists, bringing in artists, bringing in musicians, dancers. We have students of all kinds coming in, and maybe they're looking at something you and I might call a painting on a wall, but they might be looking at it through the eyes of an economics class, or they might be thinking about it through the lens of microscopy and chemistry.
How do the conversations go within other disciplines on the college, on the campus itself? In the sense of, you have the beautiful Zankel.
Yes, gorgeous.
Right behind you,
gorgeous.
Next to you, I mm-hmm. should say. And so you say you have the Bang on a Can All Stars, and you want to do that, and that's part of your Night of the Tang.
Right.
Does that become, we're going to do this with you, or we're going to do this
the campus?
Or
absolutely.
Or like Zankel says, we're going to do this as part of. I guess what I'm asking it is how interdisciplinary is it all? Do you all work together on it, or do you just sort of look at you have your blinders on and say, this is what we're going to do, this is what you guys do, and then we'll all meet.
Well, each faculty member certainly has their own classroom and their own research in their own projects, and in that way we are a group, a community of individuals with specialties and interests and programs all to ourselves. And you mentioned Zankel as one, and Skidmore has many in theater and sports and documentary studies and all different kinds of individual programs. But I think one of the things we like to do at the Tang, and I think we're not alone in this, is to bring people in who are sometimes dipping in for short periods and sometimes staying for a long time, you know, not requiring our collaborators to collaborate with us in any one way. So we end up being like a traditional library or town square where the whole community feels welcome for how they want to use that. And those conversations are very open. We work hard to spread the welcome and spread the invitations to people who might not necessarily see themselves in a museum or in an art museum, and try to be that hub.
And another way of asking the question, and God knows I'm not trying to cause any trouble here by just simply asking the question, I guess just my, are you working especially independently as an art museum, or do you think of yourself as part of the mission to satisfy campus requirements for the students who are at that college? I mean, it's the difference between being a separate standing museum and being a museum as part of campus.
I think I know what you mean. And I think, you know, going back to the book you mentioned, Everything is Connected, that's a conversation we had with Barbara while she was writing that book, and something she addresses in the book, which is that we often think of museums as having to choose one or the other or be one way or the other way. And we've worked very hard at the Tang over its creation and its years to not create divides between those two ways of being a museum. So the answer is yes and both. You know, we have our eyes firmly on the teaching mission of the college, and students and faculty are in and out of the museum every day, and that is our core reason for being. Those are core audience, and the majority of our programs are made in collaboration and with that community. But we also have a public audience. You know, we have over 40,000 people coming to the museum every year, and many of those people are coming from off campus. Many of those people are coming from our region, and some of those people are coming in the summer when they're visiting Saratoga. And we, in many ways, are an open door on the campus, way for people from off campus to get a little look at what's happening inside. So yeah, we think both ways simultaneously.
Sure. This may be a hard question to answer in a quote unquote soundbite, but I'll obviously give you longer than that. And that is, over the decade and a half, and you've been there since the beginning.
I have.
Over the past decade and a half, what do you feel that you have your mission and you have your idea in your mind? What do you feel that you have accomplished beyond what you had even dreamt of at the beginning? Hmm.
It's a great question, because I think in putting together the documents for that book and thinking about our history and thinking about this milestone anniversary and also thinking about our goals for the future, there definitely were moments of pride of saying, you know what, we have in a very short time become a real leader in teaching museums across the country. And we feel like we're an important player in the conversation about how colleges and universities and also communities and cities use their museums. I think I'm quite proud of how we've impacted art history in our own small way. I think we've developed a nice history of bringing artists to light who other museums and other art viewers and the world of art history and also just how what we're looking at has left behind. And Alma Thomas Show, which we're going to talk about soon, is an example of that. We've looked very carefully, surveyed the world of museums and looked for ways that we can do something a little different and look for those artists that aren't being shown off and look for those stories and those archives and those groups of works that haven't been seen, haven't been recorded. And I would say exhibitions that you may remember with Sister Carita Kent or yes. Terry Adkins or Tim Rollins and KOS, Erickson and Ziegler, Richard Pettibone. These are all artists that I think we, in our small way, have made a difference in the world's understanding about those artists.
Because for the artists, they come out with a catalog. They come out with a an experience of this is what we did with the Tang so that they can mm-hmm. move on and further their career and their art and their conversation with
those publications are so critical. You know, it's interesting as the world of publishing changes and as museums' budgets are tightening and audiences and the things are more and more expensive, publications can sometimes fall away or in a certain way change. We have remained committed to that as a big part of what we do because it provides us with another platform to explore sure. that artist. You know, we can do a lot of wonderful things in the gallery and a lot of people can come to our galleries and be in that really important real space, real time with the object. But in the catalog, we can commission new writings and we can publish work of our faculty. We can engage writers from around the world and we can do some scholarship that really lasts and we can get those out into libraries and shelves and hands all over the world. And in that way, there's a lot of people who participate and engage and love Tang exhibitions who haven't been to the Tang, and they see us through the website, they see us through those publications. So it's really critical.
Ian Berry is our guest on the program this morning. He's Dayton Director at the Tang and the Francis Young Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery. It's the Skidmore College campus in Saratoga Springs. They are celebrating their 15th anniversary, as you indicated, the second part of your anniversary the second half. So that's kind of a semester thing. Is that how that works?
Sure. We're changing over exhibitions, so it's kind of a moment of new opening, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about what is going on. This all starts February 6th. Alma Thomas will be on display through June 5th. Tell us about this exhibition and how it came about.
It's fantastic. It's an honor for us to be showing this work. Alma Thomas was born in Columbus, Georgia in 1891. She died in 1978, and her career is unique and groundbreaking in so many ways. And more people need to know about her. More people need to know about her and her story, and especially see her paintings, which we've gathered paintings from all across the country, many from great museums. We're thrilled to tell her story. She started her career as an artist after retiring from over 30 years as a school teacher at age 60. So at age 60, she enters the professional art scene of Washington, D.C., where she had been a school teacher, and finds great success. In Washington, D.C., at that time, there was a group of artists starting to show called the Washington School. And there were very colorful abstract paintings. Kenneth Noland, Gene Davis, Morris Lewis, Anne Truitt were some of those artists. She was working right alongside them. And at age 80, in 1972, she was the first black woman to have a solo show at the Whitney Museum of American Art. And she had many other groundbreaking moments like that along her lifetime. And very sort of excitedly zooming to the recent present, she her paintings are now on view in the Obama White House. Mm-hmm. And she's an inspiration. She's a key part of the art history of the 50s and 60s and 70s. The show will be divided into four parts. You'll see her early work, many early watercolors and sketches that have never been shown before that we're borrowing from the Columbus Museum in Georgia or her hometown. And then a section of her paintings based in, we're calling the earth, flowers, gardens, and a section of works based in space. She was fascinated by the Apollo space missions and NASA and made paintings based on that in the late 60s. And then the show concludes with her, breaking her colorful paintings, breaking into these vibrant mosaics. The show is an explosion of color in every room, and I think it'll be wonderful.
I was going to say that one of the images that I'm looking at right now is Apollo 12 splashdown. This dates back to 1970. Besides just being really cool, there is, as you say, there's just this explosion of color in it. And I would assume if you have many of those in a room, it really
it's
going to
be wonderful. And many of these paintings, the majority of these paintings haven't been brought together before anywhere. So it's a real occasion to celebrate her and see this. We are organizing the show with the Studio Museum in Harlem. It's a fantastic museum that we're thrilled to have our first collaboration with. It'll go down to their museum this summer after it shows at the Tang.
Meanwhile, Borrowed Light is a selections from the Jack Shear Gift, a 500 photographs that were given to the Tang Teaching Museum from Jack Shear. And you ultimately, along with Jack, picked out the photos that you would
show. It's been a real transformative moment. Jack is well known to many in our area. He's a curator and artist, director of the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation in Spencertown, and a good friend of the Tang. We organized Twice Drawn together in 2006 at the museum, and he has been collecting photography the most of his life as a photographer himself and growing up on the West Coast and making work now here his studio in Chatham. He has been looking at and studying and thinking about photography his whole life, and we are honored to have this amazing collection of work come to Skidmore. Now when students learn the history of photography at Skidmore, they can without hesitation learn the entire history with the real thing instead of slides and images. The gift covers the earliest experiments in the inception of photography from the late 1800s to brand new or relatively new images and color photography of artists who are working today. It includes masterpieces that people would recognize by Alfred Stieglitz and images of Paris by Eugene Atje, classic images by Edward Weston and Bernice Abbott. Many portraits. Portraits are very strong in the collections. Mm-hmm. We have great portraits by George Platt Lines and Richard Avedon, Peter Hujar. It's really going to be a walkthrough of many, many masterpieces.
One of the things that fascinated me about the exhibit and how you're working at it, and you say that walkthrough, there is a chronological component to it.
Yes.
But then there's also a gallery free-for-all, right?
And we don't think of it as a free-for-all. Well, we call that salon style, Joe.
Okay. Whatever. and...
We're very careful with our free-for-all.
Okay, so it's a salon style, and then a part of the exhibit that will change.
Yes,
that's very cool.
Very exciting. I mean, Jack is very generous and is sort of allowing in some one part of the show. an art history class taught by Professor Mimi Hellman will be using the exhibition to throughout the whole semester. And part of the opportunity for those students is to rehang one of the walls two different times during the run of the show. So they'll
Sounds
look
like
at the show.
Sounds like a free-for-all
for me. There's a little risk. There's a little risk. We'll see what they come up with. But the one wall of the show will change.
But what an opportunity.
Fantastic.
And, God, that's an opportunity.
And the exciting thing for us, and one of the ways that, you know, makes us special as a teaching museum, is that we can look at a show we put up, step back, think about it, and maybe change it around.
Yeah.
And I think in museums, we rarely give ourselves that that time to change things once things are up.
We are talking about the 15th anniversary, the second half of the celebration that begins February 6th and runs through the beginning and middle of the summer of 2016. We have about 3 minutes left, so tell us about the final third leg of this stool.
Sure. Well, I'll just mention that the museum, the Alma Thomas Show and Borrowed Light are our big shows that are opening, but we are excited to have many things. You know, if you haven't been to the Tang recently, our mezzanine has been transformed by artist Liz Collins into a explosive, immersive environment of fabrics and textiles and colors and video and publications by many, many of her artist collaborators. That's called Energy Field and very much worth a visit. Every visit to the Tang, of course, should include a ride in the elevator.
Oh, it's so
and
cool.
This in a couple of weeks, we'll be opening a new elevator music project by Critter and Guttari. They are a company formed by two Skidmore alums who used their physics and music experience together to create a new company that makes bespoke synthesizers and audio equipment, and you'll be able to even play with one of those in our elevator coming up. It's also the last few weeks to see a show about surveillance. People are very interested in this topic. It was a show we finished the semester with last semester, but it's still up for another month, and I invite people to visit that. Dwayne Michaels will be coming, a really wonderful, legendary photographer, on February 25th to speak. His work is up in the Borrowed Light exhibition. And then we have this fantastic concert with Bangkok All-Stars on February 18th. And the big excitement there is that we were able to commission a brand new piece by Brendan Rindel Myers, and they'll be premiering it at that concert.
Part of Thursday nights at the Tang, Bang on a Can All-Stars at the Tang on February 18th. Tickets are available for that. You can find out about all of the exhibitions and the special celebration that is underway, certainly beginning February 6th, but about all of the cool things that we've talked about by visiting the website tang.skidmore.edu, tang.skidmore.edu. Ian Berry is the Dayton director at the Tang. He is a dear friend of the program, and it's always a pleasure to have you and your whole crew work with us, and it's a great pleasure. I congratulate you on the anniversary and the future work.
Thank you, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.